It's good to be at Taylor's Cross Road this morning. Good to see many of you that we haven't seen in some time. Sue and I were talking about coming up this morning. So many people that we don't see anymore. And it's good to be here today. It's good to meet with y'all. Have you counted the cost? I guess the longer I live, the more I wonder about some people's decision in life. I wonder what they can be thinking about. What made you do this? Why did you do this? Why? And you read stories in the Bible about people that made bad decisions. Don't you? And I guess one story that may stand out more than other stories is the story about David. It talks about David. He was not in battle. When kings go to battle, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, he got off his bed and he walked upon the roof of his house. And he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful. So David starts the steps of sin. That's how sin goes. You know, it says one bad decision, another bad decision, another bad decision. Goes that way. And we are today the sum total of our decisions. I was coming home one night from mom's and dad's several years ago, and I thought as I was driving, Wilbur, if you go to hell, there will be nobody to blame but you. You can't blame anybody else. And so friends, we've got to make good decisions. We've got to do that. So David, he wanted to know who she was, and one said it was Bathsheba. So he sent messengers, again another step, to come and see him. And so she did. She came to David. And so she let him know later on that she was expecting a child, and that child was his. Now at this particular time, Bathsheba had a husband named Uriah, and Uriah was in battle. He was not at home. So David has a scheme. And what he wants is for Uriah to come home. And so he sent a message to Joab, the general, where Uriah was, and said, send Uriah the Hittite, send him home. And can you imagine what Joab thought? I wanted, you know, why is he sending one man home? We're in battle. So Uriah came home. And so David said, well, how's things going in the war? How's the people doing? You know, just so hypocritical in David's part. How'd the war prosper? And he said to Uriah, go down to your house, Uriah. You're here now. You can go home with your wife. Go down to your house and wash your feet. But he wouldn't leave. Uriah wouldn't go home. He wouldn't go home. And he slept all night at the door of the king's house. And so David wanted to know the next day, says, why did he go? He said, well, said he just didn't go. And Uriah told him, he said, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. This is what Uriah said. And my lord Joab, shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? Not going to do that. Uriah sounds like a real good guy, doesn't he? I won't do that. He said, as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. So David said to Uriah, you just stay right here and I'll tell you tomorrow what for you to do. So then David got him drunk. He ate and drank before him and he made him drunk. And he went to his own, and so he's hoping then that since he got drunk, he would go home. He still wouldn't go home. So David's plan is falling apart, isn't it? This woman, Bathsheba's expecting his child. He wants Uriah to think it's his child. Because he kept the months, you know, later on when the child is born. And no, he was in battle. But it's not working out. Have you ever had plans like that? You had to kind of do different things to make it work. And here you do this and do that and do the other. So David's not through yet. So he sent a letter by Uriah to go to Joab. And in the letter it said, listen to this, set you, Uriah, in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire you from him that he may be smitten and die. Can you imagine? Joab probably thought, what is going on? Here's a soldier. A soldier, we need soldiers, and David wants him dead. And so, it happened. And so Uriah got killed. Of course, you know the story, the child was born, did not live. Did not live. Like I said, people make some strange decisions in life, and you wonder what they're thinking of. Let me tell you one that I personally know about. I'm going to change the names for these people, even though it's public knowledge. There's a young man. He's born to a family over in Georgia. In fact, his mother and my mother used to correspond for years, write letters to each other. Good Christian family. Good Christian family. Raised in the church, just like we go to. Just like we go to. So one day, probably, I'd say 14 years old, he met this girl from Alabama. They got married. They got married. And by, as time went on, they had two children. $2. Two children. He had a good job working at the bank. She was in real estate. One day, something happened. A girl he worked with. He got interested in her. That's right. He used to be the president of the Chamber of Commerce there in Prattville. Member of the Exchange Club there in also. But he worked with this girl. They got involved together. And his wife tried to make him give her up, but he wouldn't give her up. He wouldn't give her up. But then, one day she told him, as Bathsheba told David, I'm expecting your child. And so he left his wife and he moved to Macon, Georgia. He bought a part owner in a pizzeria over there in Macon, Georgia. Got a job in a bank in Macon, Georgia. He lived with his second woman for 26 years. But then one day he told her, this girl was a member of the church too. He was too. One day he told her, he said, I'm going out back to feed my dogs. And that was June the 17th, 2011. He went out back to feed his dogs, he told his wife, but he carried his shotgun with him. That's right. He took his life. He took his life. And you wonder about David, you wonder about people. How did you ever get this way? How did you ever start this? What are you thinking about? Do we use our head like we should? You know, we sing a song, I looked in the book. It may be in the book under another name. Couldn't find it. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost. Even now, the line you've crossed. And people cross that line. You know that? They cross that line. But don't you know that someday you will give an account of your life? Someday you will answer. Just because you forgot it. Other people may have forgot what you did. God has not forgotten unless you've got forgiveness of it. You don't think much about Judas. He betrayed Jesus. If you ever ask yourself the question, you know, he killed himself too. You know that? He hanged himself. You ever read what it says about him in Acts? I guess it wouldn't take him down, but what I read here in Acts, what they said, I guess they stayed there. Nobody would take him down. And this is Acts chapter 1. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us. We know he was. Numbered with the apostles. And he obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. You know what he's talking about? He hung himself, and he just hung there. I guess nobody would take him down. And you know, once you die, these guests inside you make your body swell. And he hung there until he burst. And his bowels gushed out. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe if he went back after he did this to Jesus and said, please forgive me, he'd have got forgiveness? Sure he would. To make it right, don't kill yourself. Of all things, make it right. Go back, say, I am sorry, I am wrong. I have sinned. You know, that's not in the Bible much. It's less than 15 times that people say, I have sinned. You upset it? You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Have you ever said, I have sinned? David did say it after what we read a while ago. David said, Judas even said it. He brought that money back. Cast it down. But have you ever said it? You know, how do we want to say it? I made a mistake. But you made them too, see? We're going to make ourselves feel better by trying to say that to somebody else. I done wrong, but you've done wrong too. We all make mistakes. Friends, you know what? You know what the first sin of the Bible is? It ain't Eve's. It ain't Adam's. It's the devil. You ever read about him in the Bible? The devil was beautiful. He was smart. And there was war in heaven. He was cast out. He lost the war with Michael and his archangels. He was cast out. That's why he's in the Garden of Eden. So the first thing in the Bible is pride. It is. You got it? You got it? People may not know you have. It may be inside. You may feel real uppity about yourself. That's right. Pride. It's always so sad. People have that. The line you've crossed. You know, I love the story about Joseph. In Genesis chapter 39, it talks about Joseph. You know, Joseph, he was... He had a rough life. He did. His brothers put him in a pit. And he's carried away captive into Egypt. But God was with Joseph. And there he was a ruler over Potiphar's house. Everything Potiphar had, Joseph saw it. Somebody else had an interest in Joseph. And it was Potiphar's wife. And she tried to get Joseph to go to bed with her. And Joseph said some of the strongest words to me in the Bible when he said in Genesis chapter 39, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And friends, you can put that in. in your memory bank, okay? And the next time Satan comes trying to get you to do something, you say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I'm not going to do it. Woman, I'm not going to do it, he said to her. And he, you know what he did? He took off. He took off. He left. She grabbed him by his garment and accused him wrongfully. He was thrown in prison again. That's right, this time, thrown in prison by then. But he said that, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And I missed, I don't know what it is. You know, Satan, he comes to us in different ways, doesn't he? Things that bother you may not bother me. I told somebody one time, I said, you know, when I go in a secret mart, the same pack of cigarettes over there don't bother me. See a can of beer, don't bother me one bit. You know what bothers me? That snicker bar. Because I don't care about the cigarettes or the beer. But I could eat that snicker bar. Oh, yeah. I could. I'm not saying it's a sin. I know it's not a sin. But I don't eat too much of it. Well, some things bother different people. The Bible tells us, no sin taking us, but what, no temptation taking us, but what is common to man. But you know, there's another part of this that we need to think about too, sisters. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. You do that. Have you noticed the style, how it changed in how people were dressed immodestly? You see men that you see their underwear. They got their pants on. I saw a guy one day trying to rake pine straw, and he's there, and he's got his legs spread out like this, and he's trying to work because he in his underwear. And I think to myself, you can make it much easier on yourself. You just get your belt, buck your pants, and look decent. You need to look in the mirror sometime. But the Bible says that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And you may think, well, Bathsheba, she had a responsibility in this case too. I don't know what their custom was of that day. But when David saw her, what should he have done? Go in the house. Go in the house, David. Don't look at her. Sisters, you've got a responsibility. The women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefaced sobriety. What becometh a woman professing godliness with good works? That's what you ought to be known as. That's what you're remembered by, don't you? How will people remember you? You ever think about that? When you're dead and gone, and I'm 79 years old, so I know I ain't got many more days. You know, I know that. But how will people remember you? In Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks here about his life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Listen to this, okay? You want to be a good example, don't you? You want to be a good example? You want people to remember you as a God-fearing, God-serving person? Don't you want to be remembered as that? Don't you want to encourage other people to live for the Lord? Paul says here, Philippians 4 and 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Now people look at you, okay? And they learn about you, they hear about you, they see you. It may be on your job, it may be at home, it may be in school. Paul says, but those things do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that something? Now what would you say about yourself? What would you tell your... Okay. You're on your deathbed, we'll say. And the dearest person in the world is standing right here by your bedside. What would you say to them? Would you say to them, you lived as I've lived and you'll be okay? Would you say that? Could you say that? Or would you say, well, you know, you do better than I've done? Paul didn't say that. He said, you live like I have lived, because Paul knew he hadn't crossed the line, see. And Paul suffered a lot of things. He was left for dead one time, you know. He was. You think he wasn't tempted? Sure he was. But he said, you live like I've lived. Those things you know about me, you do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Friends, let me tell you what. One day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, a righteous judge. And everything you've accumulated down here will be all past and gone. It won't make no difference in how nice a house you lived in. It won't make no difference in what you had in the bank. It's going to matter then how you've lived. You remember back in the old Bible when the wise man Solomon talks about his life, and he, I guess you'd have to say it, some people would say that he had it all. He had it all. But he had what men singers, women singers, cattle, money, land. But you know what he said? His conclusion of the whole matter. Let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you the conclusion of this whole matter about my life. Fear God and keep His commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. See those little telephone calls you've made? Those things you've looked at on your computer that is so sinful? See, God knows all about that. Those programs you watched on television, you shouldn't be watching, and you knew you shouldn't be watching. You got HBO. You know what I call that HBO? Hell-bound organization. You got that? You're going to have that in your home? You ever read in Revelation what it says about whoremongers? If you think that's not whoremonger, I don't know what whoremonger is. And the thing about it is, you sit there watching, you don't sit right there with you. Oh yeah, Jesus, he sitting right there too. See? He knows all about it. You don't hide it from the Lord. See, David tried to, didn't he? Oh, he did. Send Uriah home, Joab. Send Uriah home, but Uriah wouldn't go home. So we go to plan B. Put him to death. Put him to death. Get him killed. Decisions. I say it. What you going to be remembered by? Who's going to remember you? I'll read you something. In Proverbs. Proverbs, the 31st chapter. I read this at funerals for women. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful? She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. Think about some women that would really fit, don't you? A virtuous woman. Her mouth, as wisdom comes out of it, she's kind. Good decisions. Good decisions. You don't cross the line. You don't cross over from that. In 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart that have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. You know, you might remember when you were baptized and you were on the right way. You felt good about what you'd done. You felt real good about what you'd done. But have you gone astray? Have you gone away? Do you still have the enthusiasm that you once had to serve God? And friends, we live in a wicked world. And Sue and I talk so much about the world that we're leaving. Our kids and our grandkids, our great-grandkids. We got 3 great-grandkids. The world that we're leaving behind for them to have. And it's sad. It bothers us. We pray about it. We sure do. We pray about it. But what are we doing to help the world? Are you a good example? Have you crossed the line? Have you tried to cover your sins? Are you faithful? Are you a virtuous woman, a virtuous man? Dear friends, we have to answer that question, don't we? We answer it each day that we live, too. What kind of person we are. What kind of husband we are. What kind of wife we are. What kind of student we are. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, and before I tell you what it says, Ephesians 6, my great uncle, my granddaddy's brother, when I was a boy, he took a great interest in me, and I won't ever forget it. And Uncle Gene Pitts was his name, and he was real concerned about serving the Lord. And he wanted me to know about serving the Lord too. So he told me, he says, well, Ephesians 6 and 1, you need to learn, you need to remember, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, and as long as they live, they will be your father and mother. You know that? They may be old, they may be sick, but you still honor your father and mother. And you children here today, you obey your parents. And I know, you know more about a computer and all this kind of stuff than they do, but they know more about life than you do. That's right. They know more about life. And you listen to your parents. You know, Scripture, I think about that my mama hammered to me so many times and about shun the very appearance of evil. It's found in Thessalonians. She would, over and over, she'd tell me, she said, if it appears to be evil, Wilbur, it's evil. Shun it. Stay away from it. Don't go there. You know what? Might cross the line, mightn't you? You might cross a line like David did. Or like this man I told you about was one time a member of the Lord's church. He was white too. That's right. And I can't tell you why he took his life. I guess one day the burden, what he'd done got so bad, even one of his own daughters wouldn't let him come to her wedding. If you're not invited, Daddy, you can't come. You can't come to my wedding. You can't come. Sad. He's real likable kind of guy. Real likable. I've been around him time and time again. His wife too. But why do people do that? Why do people do that? What are we thinking about? Eyes full of adultery. In Matthew chapter 5, and I'm fixing to close. Matthew chapter 5. He said, you have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 27. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Do you know what the Bible said that? You look on it to lust after, you already committed adultery. Look what else he says. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's probable that one of thy members should perish. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from you. Now friends, let me tell you this morning. Whatever it is has got to go. Okay? Whatever it is, it's got to go. You've got to cut it off. Because if you don't cut it off, one day you may cross that line. From lust, desire, it happens. Tell you one more story, I'm going to close. This guy that I knew from childhood, I worked at the same company his wife worked for. And he was one of the most stable people I've ever known, quite frankly. Hard worker, well thought of. He told me one time about a man, he was a farmer, this guy was a farmer. Tell me about a man that, he said, well, Bob even got his checkbook. He said, whenever I need seed or fertilizer or whatever, and he tells me, you should write a check on my account. He said, I know you'll pay me back. I know you'll pay me back. But he's also in the National Guard. And he was a good sharpshooter. And he would go, I don't know, wherever. These things the National Guard have, showing people, you know, trying to recruit people, I'm sure, to join the National Guard of the Army. And he met this girl about, and she was, I think, 22 years younger than him. And she was one of the sharpshooters, too. His wife called me one day. She said, Wibble, you're driving me crazy. She said, stay about 2 months at home. 2 months, he'd go up and live with her in Pennsylvania, I believe, where she lived. He found out a nervous breakdown. Then got out of the hospital. Had 4 kids with her. I saw her just the other day, his wife. But he left her. And that's been, I'd say, 45, 30 years ago. And you know, if you knew him, you would think that he would not do that. Friends, you can't, what did Brother Holmes say one time? you don't let Satan get his foot in the front door. Because if you do, he's going to soon be in your house stomping all around. Mm-hmm. get the foot in the door, don't do it. Because he'll take over your life and he'll ruin your life. He'll wreck your life. That's right. Whatever it is that's wrong in your life, as Jesus says here in Matthew, you got to cut it off. It's got to go. Your right eye, your right arm, he's just talking about what's wrong in your life, what he's talking about. Get rid of it. Now, if you've gone away from the Lord, now's a day to come back. Okay? Now's a time to come back. If you've been baptized, you've gone away, please come back. Confess your faults. Ask for prayer. Ask for forgiveness. Don't die in your sin. If you're not a member of the church, today's the day to be baptized. Be born again. You know, that Pentecost, those people there, they killed Jesus Christ. And Peter preached to them in Acts 2. And they asked a question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay, Peter, you confessed us, we killed the Lord. But when you kill somebody, you can't go back and unkill somebody, can you? It's a done deed. It's already been done. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So friends, we still have that same today to do. Repent and be baptized. Make that good confession by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's a unity in Acts chapter 8. And you can't be born again. You can't be forgiven. We can assist anyone here today, leave the college, please come to the front and stand as we say.